It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, big one down in Corvallis last night. I think the party's still going on as the Beavers are heading back to Omaha. Joining us now is our good friend, Mike Doc Parker, the voice.
Not paying attention to us at all, was he?
No, I was not. You guys are going to play a sound here. All right, hit me with the sound. Fire it away.
Keljo comes set. Nelly's 3-2 pitch taken. Strike three, call! The Beavers return to Omaha!
I mean, anytime I get to hear Mike Parker's voice, it makes me happy.
Well, Mike probably doesn't like it, so I want Mike to grade his own call.
All right, MEP OSU on Twitter, the voice of Oregon State, all of their athletics, but baseball and heading back to Omaha. Doc, good morning to you. Grade the call.
Hey, good morning. Well, it's the type of thing where it was such a wild game, guys, that, early in the game when the Beavers were up 13-3 and 14-4, I had the luxury of sort of, okay, what should I say at the end? but then, the problem is, and I think any of us in the profession shouldn't ever try to do that and just try to go with what occurs in the moment rather than try to script anything out or, premeditate on it. And so, but when 14-4 became 14-6 and then 14-8 and then 14-10, now I'm worried about, man, I'm glad I didn't pre-script anything. I may have to rewrite completely.
Yeah,
so I just, in the moment, I was just glad to call that the Beavers are returning to Omaha. And, now it's not a great one, but for me, the whole weekend was just a joy to watch. This whole postseason, as you docs know, has been pretty amazing.
Oh, it's a remarkable run here by Canham and Company. They get to Omaha, first time under Mitch. I got to be honest, this is why you're the best and why you're better at your job than I ever would be at mine. I would just want to say, suck on that one, Florida State. Like, I just go real brutal and mean, and I probably wouldn't last very long in your
profession. The thoughts occur to me, but I tend to reject them. But I'm actually proud of you, Brandon. If you go ahead and go with it, you have more courage than I do in my life.
Well, what Dirt doesn't know, or maybe he does, was I had to debate when to ask you to get on the show because I don't want to text you at 9:30, but I also don't want to text in the fourth inning, even though they scored all the runs so early. So I'm kind of waiting until about, I think it was 8th or 7th, and I'm like,
you don't want to jinx anything.
I didn't want to jinx
because he texted me, he said, I'll ask Doc to come on if they win, and then they go up 7-2, and I'm like, well, are we going to ask him? This thing's looking pretty good in my eyes, but I'm also not emotionally tied to it like that. Like, when you look at the weekend as a whole, Doc, this has been a thing now. Can he get back to Omaha? Will he live up to the, the shadow of Casey and all that nonsense that a very small minority in the fan base have done? Because the guy's done nothing but win. He just hasn't quite won at the highest level yet. They punched their ticket first time since 2018, I believe, that they're going back to Omaha. Just kind of encapsulate the entire weekend from the comeback to Friday, the pitcher's duel on Saturday, and then just home run and runs bonanza last night.
It was the last two weekends, guys, have just been an example of a couple of things. One, the grit for the team. That's true. Built through 24,000 miles of travel, all the games away from Corvallis, I think helped prepare them for a moment to take advantage of the reward of getting to be at home for all of those miles logged and the difficult challenges on the road. So that to have a decisive winner take all on Monday against USC to settle the Corvallis regional, and they romped in that one 9-0, and to have a decisive super regional at home that, again, they worked so hard to earn that opportunity. Though I think though the sight, Goss, being at home, gave the team just a tremendous lift, like, hey, we've got this. Goss will get them, we'll get them, and we're going to find our way through. But to get to those decisive games, as you've alluded to, took a lot of work. And I give Mitch credit for keeping keeping the team and the guys up the entire year. And Brandon, what you alluded to, you know, the shadow of the great Pat Casey who built the program, Mitch was a big part of it as a player going to Omaha three straight years and winning two national championships. But you're right. I do think you said it's a faction of the fan base, and every fan base has a cadre or a faction that, and I don't think it's out of malice. I don't think it's out of ill will. I think it's just out of, and sometimes it's out of just such a deep love and affection for the place that, oh, how can we walk that guy in four pitches? How? And I feel that way sometimes as a broadcaster. I'm up 13-3, and Segura falls behind 2-0, and I'm just bemoaning my future. Oh, my gosh, it's 2-0. So I understand the fans that look at things that way, and then will, you know, hold Mitch or Rich Dorman or whoever, well, we should have won that game because of this, that, or the other. What the last couple of weeks have shown is just how difficult baseball is and the amazing variety that the game presents. And as you said, I mean, the comeback for the ages on Friday, just one good inning, really, offensively in that game, one good inning. But the pitching had been good enough to give them a shot going to the bottom of the ninth. And they score three against all odds. They really did. That was one of the more amazing things I've ever seen. Then they get just stymied, shut down by great Florida State pitching on Saturday. And yesterday it looked like, you know, I mean, the bunt-a-palooza they had against USC that Mitch called it on Monday when they bunted four times in an inning, that turned into, you know, just a home run derby, the home run palooza with five of them and a 14-4 lead after four innings. So I think I felt in answering your text, I did so before the game was over, didn't I, Brandon? Mm-hmm. I do think you could check the timeline, and I'm sure all of these things will be subpoenaed at some point, and we'll, you know, we'll all have to, you know, be held accountable. But when did you send the text? What did you, you know, what did I know, and when did I know it? Well, I sent you the text, I think, while the Beavers were still trying to close the deal, didn't I?
Correctamundo, it was the eighth inning. I was like, this is bad confidence. Never a doubt.
No. You know, I have a 60-second, you know, 60 seconds to kind of send those texts out during broadcast breaks on the network. And so I worried, though, when I said, hey, Doc, pick the time, because you said either 8 or 8:15. I said, I'm good to go either way. But after I hit send and then I saw a couple of runs score, I thought it was my fault by agreeing to come on your show, because I didn't give you any caveat, like, only if they win, Brandon, only if they win.
I should have put that in the question. Only if they win, Doc, can we get you on at 8 or 8:15? Can I ask you baseball question? I don't notice these things quite as much as you would on being in the day-to-day and traveling and calling these games for the team, but in what ways are they different with Mitch versus when Pat was the coach?
I would say Mitch is considerably younger, you know, yesterday than Pat was at the end of his run. Mm-hmm. And I do think, I think that manifests itself in some of the energy on the long bus rides, and Mitch will get involved sometimes in the choice of music that everybody listens to, kind of has a no phones, cell phone policy. Now, Pat Casey's brother, Chris, at George Fox, had kind of, as you guys probably remember, I mean, he wouldn't let the guys have phones at all on bus trips and playing football there when he was coaching. And it was written about and talked about, and we talked to Chris about that. Pat, you know, Pat was kind of coming at the end of all of that in his career, the beginnings of people just constantly on devices and social media and all of that. But Mitch is just a... I think he's, I don't want a player's coach. I'm not sure if that's the right term to use. I think he's a little bit more, he's got on the exterior, certainly more on a moment-to-moment basis, laughing with the guys, joking around with them.
Relatable.
Around the batting cage. In the hotel. Mm-hmm. Relatable is a good word for it, Doc. Mm-hmm. Pat Casey had such an aura about him. Guys loved him and respected him, but he was a tough son of a gun. Mitch can be that way, too, when he needs to be. And again, that's why I give a great deal of credit to the way he kept the team through the ups and downs and that four-game losing streak against Oregon, there were moments and times where I think a lot of our fans, and I think it even ran through my mind, could that four-game stretch cost the Beavers everything they've been working on? The national seed, even hosting a home regional, how would they respond to it? Well, Mitch responded as he always does. He's a great person, figure, mentor to these guys, but has a bit more of an understanding of where they are in their youthful ways and trying to deal with all of this stuff. So they're both great people and men and leaders of men. Pat Casey is the most competitive person I've ever been around in my life. And I always learn something when I'm with him. Just a quick telephone conversation. We've had several here of late during this postseason, and I just come away going, man, that guy's good. He's good at everything he does. And Mitch Canham gives me similar feelings, but how would I put this? Maybe he, in a less profound sort of way, but when you come away from Mitch and you watch Mitch interact with his players, you see, now there's a guy that gets it, and there's somebody that's deeply respected and loved by his players too, in a different kind of way. They're both great coaches and great people I've had the honor of working with. And it is a little different. It's a little looser, I would say, and with the music and the rambunctiousness getting on and off a bus and all of that, than maybe some of the things I remember in the Casey era. But I'm honored to have been able to work with both guys.
Yeah, now he's going to the Omaha for the first time. You've been to Omaha a number of times, Doc. We're talking with Mike Parker, the longtime voice of Oregon State Athletics. A lot of trips to Omaha for you over the years, so I'll ask. I've never been to the new stadium, but I have been to Rosenblatt, or I did go to Rosenblatt. Mm-hmm. Do you miss old Rosenblatt? Are you one of those guys? I see that a lot when this Omaha stuff comes up. And what's the one thing that's on your list every time you go to Omaha? Do you got one thing that you got to do or one place you got to go?
It's a good question, and you know me. I mean, you know, I'm the newest school cutting edge guy ever, so I have no nostalgia in me whatsoever for Fenway Park or Scheib Park, or which became Connie Mack, or, you know, for the days of the old professor and Casey Stengel. I know nothing about that stuff, nor do I care. I'm all about the here and now and the present. So this whole nostalgia for Rosenblatt thing, no, believe me, I loved that place. I loved Rosenblatt Stadium, the feel, the smells as you walked in. I mean, you knew you were at Rosenblatt. The new ballpark is magnificent. It was TD Ameritrade the last time I was there. It's Charles Schwab now. And I love that place, too. So I've had 3-3 at Rosenblatt, 5, 6, and 7, 13, 17, and 18 in the new ballpark. And I still hurt over 13 when Danny Hayes pummeled a ball that their local columnist said, had Hayes hit that ball in Rosenblatt against Mississippi State, it would have ended up in the gorilla pen at the zoo across the street. So I sort of held TD Ameritrade. I was angry with the ballpark that first trip back there in 2013 because it wasn't hitter-friendly enough. I love good pitching. I love good defense. I love a 3-2 ball game. Matt Boyd beat Indiana there 1-0 in the College World Series in 2013, and it was a thrilling game at 1-0. But they've tailored things a little bit more, fixed some things there, and it plays to me a little bit more legitimately than it did early. So it's a beautiful, clean, new, bright, wonderful ballpark. But those memories in Rosenblatt and the Henry Dorley Zoo, literally right across the street, you know, my kids grew up in that zoo and in that ballpark. My two daughters, I mean, those family trips, 5, 6, and 7, guys, are among the best times for the Parker family ever to enjoy Beaver athletics and Beaver baseball in that venue. My wife and kids and I would go when I had opportunity, would spend the entire day at the, they bought a year-long membership when we'd go back there because they went just about every day, so it was cheaper to buy a year-long membership. And they did that 3 straight years and would spend all day at the zoo, and ball game came, come over to the ballpark and watch the Beavers in those memorable days. So I have great memories of both places, and I'm looking forward to making a few more this weekend and next in Omaha.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the last one I got for you, Doc. That might be also the most random membership of anybody in America, this guy living in Corvallis, membership at an Omaha, Nebraska zoo. Random.
It's a great zoo, by the way. My grandparents, I used to go there all the time with them. Whenever we go back to Omaha to visit them, it's an underrated, really good zoo.
Yes, it is.
So the bracket has shaken out very interestingly. Obviously, Arkansas is going back. They're a 3 seed. They look like a wagon. They look like they're very hungry to get their College World Series that they haven't. Carolina loses. Vandy's out. Like, you've had 2 seed Texas gone. You've got some Cinderella stories mixed in with some, oh, my God, how is UCLA doing this? They were so bad last year. How do you like the bracket for Oregon State as they get ready to go to Omaha? I know we wait for Duke and Murray State, but just the teams that are in Omaha punch the ticket. How are we feeling about Oregon State going into it?
You know, I haven't done much on it yet, other than to know it's Louisville and then an opportunity against either Coastal Carolina or Arizona. Arizona is one of those Cinderella stories and a familiar opponent to Oregon State. In that sense, I think it's shaken out reasonably well, you know, and the Beavers were one of the 8 national seeds that managed to survive. I was stunned that Arizona, I mean, to me, of all the results, Arizona beating North Carolina in Chapel Hill after losing 18-2 in the opener is one of the more astonishing turnarounds in this postseason. But, you know, I think there's a path there, and the Beaver frontline starting pitching, now the final score yesterday, 14-10, let's go. No, the pitching was good, and the Beavers have good pitching. Yesterday, both offenses really came to life, and the Beavers had more of it than Florida State, which, by the way, is really good. That they pitched in extremely well. I'm not sure what kind of pitching. I haven't even gotten into Louisville yet, or what Coastal and Arizona and the teams on the other side. I'm not there yet, guys. But I think there's a path here, and wouldn't it be something? If Arkansas and Oregon State would end up playing for it again, I'm not sure Razorback fans would be too keen on that.
A little PTSD for those Razorbacks down there in Arkansas. I enjoyed this text. We'll let you go on this. Somebody texted in, hearing Mike Parker talk always puts a smile on my face. He could be telling me an asteroid is hurling towards the Earth, ending humanity, and I would still have a grin on my face. Well, that asteroid's not on the way, but we have grins on our face. Mike Parker, I'm sure you're grinning down in Corvallis. Hopefully you got a little bit of sleep last night. Enjoy another trip to Omaha, Doc. We always appreciate the time. Have fun.
Thanks. Hey, guys, and please send that text to a Hollywood producer the next time they make a film about the asteroid coming. Yes. And there have been quite a few of them. I'd love to get a part just to calm the people of the world. if I have that effect, I think they ought to put that in a movie. Hey, guys, it's great talking to you. Thanks for having me on. Love you guys. Keep up the good work, and let's go Bees in Omaha. Thanks.
There you go. Mike Doc Parker.
Consummate pro right there.
He's the best. Oh, we love chatting with him, and they're heading back to Omaha. You ever contemplate going to one of these bad boys?
I actually was thinking about it. You know me. I don't watch all these games, but like when they're on and it's the Supers, I do like start to kind of get a little into it. And
I would take some Jello shots in Omaha.
I was like, you know, I haven't been to Omaha. I've never seen it live.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool to go back.
We drove by the stadium when we were there for the football game.
I remember it. And I just kept thinking, oh, wish I would have gone in one of those games. I also don't want to go, and the one time I go is the year they don't win.
Yeah, you always got that fear because there's nothing worse than spending money to travel to watch your team play and then they lose in heartbreaking fashion. And then you got the return flight.
It's a bit of a problem.
It's a whole, you know, yeah. I've experienced a handful of those over the years and they're not enjoyable. The win's much more enjoyable. But Oregon State heading back to Omaha and looking for their first championship since 2018. It was the last one, right? Yeah. Last time they were there in Omaha. It's the last time they won it. Mike Doc Parker, great friend of the program. We got to get back on the clock. We're a little bit late here. Stanley Cup Final Game 3 is tonight. Also, another fallout in college base I want to talk about. We'll get to that next. First, here's us with a FUP date.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.